So we're starting off with being in pursuit. Being in pursuit. Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2 says, as the deer pants longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Psalm 63, 1 to 6. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Now, those were somebody's words as they reached out to God. As the deer pants for water, so I long for you. We all know what it's like to be thirsty, right? And what it's like when you finally get that glass of water. The feeling, I can see Carrie there closing her eyes as in like, it's just one of the most wonderful things. It's like when you get under the shower after being in a very cold weather, isn't it? It's just amazing. Or sitting in front of a fire when you've been freezing. There are just some things that are just wonderful. As the deer pants for water. We're talking about pursuing. Fasting is about pursuing. And pursuing something is not a one-time thing. Who here remembers, except for the children, if there's any children here, who remembers their first love? You may be sitting next to them. Yes, you may or may not be sitting next to them. Who remembers their first love? Yes, and who remembers what was that like? What that was like? Those first few days, first few weeks. I mean, it might have turned out disastrous, but just that first moment, noting. Yeah, before it turned disastrous, do you remember what it was like? You couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat, you couldn't focus. You didn't want to hang out with your friends, right? You just wanted to be with that one person. Has that been people's experience? Yes. For some. Now, we need to get back, if we've lost that, we need to get back to pursuing God. Similar to when you first got to know Christ. You know, some people have incredible stories about their first experience with Christ. Some people have everyday experiences of when they met with Christ because they grew up in the church. But we can all identify a moment when we knew that there was a connection that we had made. Pursuing is not a one-time thing. You know, recently I decided to join a 28-day challenge. 28-day challenge in a gym. And they give you an app. They weigh you. They look at your mass, your body fat composition, all of that stuff. Like you, it's like you're burying your soul. They just put you on that scale and they print out something and they give it to you and you're horrified, right? You're like, wow, okay, I thought I was overweight, but I didn't realize I had that much fat, right? So they give you that and then they tell you to keep a log of your food. And then you take that log of your food and you post it on the Facebook page, right? It's a whole nother level of accountability. Like, it's not, it's just a specific page for people who are doing the same challenge. So everybody's kind of on the same boat. But the problem is, the first 4 days, they say, no carbs. Now, who's ever tried to have no carbs? It's a terrible experience, isn't it? I'm happy to say I'm on day 5, but the first 4 days, no carbs. Now, the first day, I hadn't read that bit. So, of course, I had carbs. It was just a little corn thin with peanut butter, which I love. But I had that, and then I had to take a photo of that and then put it on the app and then post it on Facebook. And it shows it in red when you've done something you're not supposed to have done, right? Now, when it got to day two, you have a coach as well. I said to the coach, I don't know if I can do this. Day three, I thought it would get better. I sat with my kids. I said to them, I don't think I can make it. And one of the days, my daughter had to literally pull me off the couch so that I could go to the gym, because I put on my gym clothes and I was ready to go. And then when it was time to leave, I said to her, you know, maybe I'll do this tomorrow. You know, it's already late. And she stood up. This is my 12-year-old. She stood up. She's like, no, mom, you're going. Remember what your goal is. Remember what you said, right? Don't give up on what you know, started speaking back the things I would say to them. And I said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. She pulled me up, you know, and I stood up because something in my head was, this is, you said you wanted this. That voice said, you said this is what you want. So get up and go, and don't embarrass your 12-year-old daughter. So I got up and I went. And then on Saturday morning, they say you should do at least three gym sessions. So I had done two, not on the day. I had done two, so Saturday morning was my day three, and I couldn't risk not doing three in a week. So I got up, got ready. It was a hectic thing. Had to go there, and then I had to go to work. I went to the gym. Now, the whole week that I went to the gym, it was just ladies, right? Very fit ladies, by the way. Muscular, toned, the way I want to be. So I see these ladies, but this time there's all these men as well. Now, I don't normally get intimidated by men or women, but these men just looked like they knew what they were doing, right? Everybody, has anybody ever done CrossFit? Or you know what I mean when I say CrossFit? This is like CrossFit. So I see these people, and there's these massive machines that you're supposed to push, and then you have to lift up these dumbbells, and then you have to, like, it's all sorts of things. And the guy, the music that's playing, every second word is F this, F that. Like, it's, and you're sitting there and you're like, okay, so what do I do with this, right? So it was quite interesting, and I just wanted to run from there. I said, you know what, I gave it a try. This is the conversation. I gave it a try. All these people have been doing this for a while, so, you know, I might as well give up. But I had to have a little self-talk with myself, and as usual, at the end of it, I was glad I did it. I drank the water. I went home and, you know, did my diary. But it was just one of those things that I was thinking, you know, when we come to God, we normally say, God, I love you. I want a relationship with you. Use me. We say all these wonderful things to God until it is time to give up something, until it's time to sacrifice something. Then we start having another conversation. But when we look at fasting, Dr. Bill Wright, who's the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, in his book, Why You Should Fast, he listed some reasons, and he said fasting and prayer can restore the loss of your first love for your Lord and result in a more intimate relationship. That first love. You know, there's a scripture in Revelation that talks about how you have forgotten your first love. And sometimes when you've been a Christian for many, many years, you do forget. Now, you're not meant to remain the same way you were when you first met Christ, but there is a certain connection, a certain passion that you have when you first have a relationship with Christ, that often as life happens, as you get used to, you know, the Christian life, it's easy to kind of forget that. Now, why we fast? Fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, resulting in repentance and a transformed life. I know that the few times that I have fasted, I have found that God has, through the Holy Spirit, exposed to me certain areas, you know, that needed a bit of work. Certain areas that I don't think I would have been aware of if I had not taken that time to actually hear or be sensitive to what God was saying. Fasting will encourage the Holy Spirit to quicken the Word of God in your heart and His truth to become more meaningful to you. You know, sometimes we can read the Word of God over and over and over. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. You can read that over and over and over, but there comes a time where that word is illuminated. That what does that actually mean, that the Lord is my shepherd? You know, what does it mean? And sometimes, you know, reading the Word of God can just feel like information. Information, and we live in a generation where we almost have information overload. Information doesn't change your life. It doesn't transform you. Revelation does. Revelation of the Word of God. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Fasting can result in a dynamic personal revival in your life and make you a channel of revival for others. Now, you know, I mentioned last time that, you know, I felt God lead me many, many years ago to go into a 40-day fast, and then how I started having all these thoughts about how I was going to fail and it's not going to work. But the thing I didn't mention was why I actually felt that. I was going through quite a difficult time with my health. I had all these health issues. Nobody knew exactly what was going on. Quite similar to what happened this past year. But I found myself in a place where I was just lost. I didn't know what was happening. I loved God. I was passionate about His Word. But I had all these unanswered questions, you know. And the thing is, we spoke last week about breakthrough. That if you're needing breakthrough, fasting is one of those ways that can help with that, because it breaks something. It allows there to be a break, or it's like a reset. Because I found for myself, whenever I am lost or confused and I don't know what the next step is in whatever area of my life, whether it's parenting, whether it's health issues, whether it's my job, fasting, as well as praying, fasting is one of the quickest way I know to kind of say, okay, God, I need you. I need you to help me here. One of my favorite phrases, David said, as the deer pants, I'm saying it's David, but I'm not quite sure actually who said this, but it's in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for water, I often will say, I need you. That is my favorite phrase to God. I can't do life without you. I'm lost without you. Like, not many, many words to God, just to say, God, if you don't show up right now, I don't know how I'm going to move forward. There's a desperation. There's a desperation that comes when you're going through something. And for myself, I've found that's the best word to say, the best way to communicate to God is to say, God, I need you. I have nothing. I may have, on the outside, I may have all these things happening in my life. On the outside, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a therapist, I'm a pastor, I'm a writer. You could name a whole list of things. But at the end of the day, when I come before God, those things don't really matter, because I still feel desperate for Him. I feel like if He doesn't come in and do something, I can't do any of those things. I need Him for every one of those things, right? So secondly, I want to talk about positioned for purpose. Positioned for purpose. In the book of Esther, chapter 4, you know, we found Esther, and she was there with her uncle Mordecai, and she found herself in a place where she had to make a decision about how she was going to interact with the environment that she was in. And quite often we are forced to make a decision. Every day we're faced with decisions about how we are going to interact with what's in our environment. And it says in verse 16, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Esther made a decision. All of us, every day, whatever environment we find ourselves in, we have to make decisions. For Esther, she knew this decision was too big to just jump in. And the reality is, for a lot of us, there's some decisions that, you know, some decisions you use your brain. God has given us a brain. God has given us wisdom, right? So you don't have to pray and say, God, shall I have cornflakes or Weet-Bix, right? We don't go to God, shall I brush my teeth today or not, right? But there's some decisions that you can't just step out and make a decision without seeking God's input. You know, we are in the world, but we also have worlds that God has placed in us. Every single one of us in this room, we've been placed in a specific world, right? Specific family, specific business, specific relationship, sporting club, community, specific church, specific campus, right? You all belong to, you wear different hats and you belong to different circles, different worlds. Mordecai's thought was compelling. You see, perhaps this is the reason you were placed in this position. That's what Mordecai said to his niece. Maybe you were placed in this position for such a time as this. Maybe you find yourself where you are right now because there is a plan and a purpose, right, that God has for you. And this was said to Esther, but I also repeat it to us, that whatever world you find yourself in, whatever platform God has given you, whatever circle you're in, maybe it was for such a time as this. Now, why this is important is because it matters how you enter a space. Sometimes, you know, when I work with, in the past, I've worked with someone in my work as a therapist, and they will say something like, oh, I've got an interview and I'm just so nervous and I don't know this and I don't know that. And we talk often about, how are you going into that space? Let's say it's a job interview. How are you going into that job interview? It matters how you go in. So for her, she was going in thinking, they're going to ask me this, and I don't know if I can do this, and if I can do this. And I said, every space that you enter, imagine that you go in carrying a bag of gifts. Every platform that you enter, you're not just in entering that empty-handed, because you're a child of God. You can't help it. God has given you gifts and talents, and you take those with you in every space you enter. So you're not just one of many other people. You're one coming in with gifts. And I spoke to her about saying that it's not about them asking you questions. It's about you thinking about, okay, what am I offering these people? What do I come with? What skills? So they're not just doing you a favor. You're coming in carrying something. And that's what I would like us to think about this morning, that wherever God has placed you, even in your own family, whether you're a mother, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a grandmother, whatever space you're in, you come carrying something. And that something was given to you maybe for such a time as this. So, remember that sometimes purpose is understood when we look back from where we have come in, and then we have that aha moment. Who's ever had an aha moment, or who's have had an aha moment this year? You had one? Yeah? One worth of sharing? No? Okay. Andrew's had an aha moment. Anyone else? Do you all know what an aha moment is? Let me start there. No? Okay. An aha moment is that moment where you're like, aha. Okay, I'll explain it a bit better. It's a moment when something clicks. It's that moment of revelation where you come to understand something, where you're thinking, oh, so that was looking at me all this time and I never saw it. It's something that clicks and it changes how you look at life and it changes how you show up to the world. Right? Like I always talk about, you're a miracle, you're a miracle, you're a miracle, right? I always talk about there's only one person out there with your fingerprints. Those are just words until they become a revelation, until they become an aha moment. Because when that becomes an aha moment, it changes your posture. It changes how you show up. It changes when somebody says, oh, I love the way you look in that dress. You don't say, oh, this cheap thing, I got it from, you know, wherever. I got this from a secondhand store. Oh, but, you know, somebody compliments you at work. You did that project really well. Oh, but, you know, David does it better. Right? It takes revelation to actually see yourself differently and show up differently. In one article, that some Christian Fiola said this, fasting prepares you for the works God has ordained for you, or ordained you to do. It prepares you for the works that God has ordained you to do. All of us, there's an assignment, and there's a plan and a purpose for your life, and there's an assignment attached to the plan and purpose. Now, these are words that we hear all the time, right? As Christians, we hear Sunday after Sunday, we hear a lot. We are fed with the word, if I can use that phrase. We are fed with the word. Some of us consume the Bible like, you know, nothing else. We have so much word in us. But that doesn't necessarily translate to working out in our lives. As we step into fasting, we're doing that because we want to actually understand that there is a plan and a purpose. We don't want those words to just be words. We want to see the outworking of that. And fasting, just like prayer, is an opportunity to actually continue to be sensitive to what God says. So how do we fast? How to fast? Number one, pray. We have to be prayerful as we step into this moment or this few days of fasting. Because fasting is, sorry, I'm a bit thirsty. Could I have some water? I think it's, yeah. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Andrew. Thank you. Fasting is more than simply going without something. It's supplementing the absence of something that feeds your flesh with prayer in order to feed your spirit. Now, I was talking before about how I said to my kids, I don't think I can do this challenge. Now, the reason I was saying that was because I felt deprived of certain foods. Now, if I had not been told I couldn't have those foods, I probably wouldn't feel deprived of them. But because I was told you can't have this, all of a sudden that level of deprivation went high, right? Now, it's supplementing the absence of something that feeds your flesh with prayer in order to feed your spirit. Number one is pray. Number two, read the word. You see, the devil came to test Jesus, and Jesus used the word, right? Jesus was tempted, and he used the word. Man shall not live on bread alone. And Christ did not distort the word of God. It's the word of God in you that you will use to fight those obstacles. And that's the difference between, you know, being a follower or a believer or a Christian, fasting, and somebody else who's not, that is fasting, is that you have, or you and I have, the word of God to refer to, right, in that moment. Number three, commit. So first we pray, secondly we read the word, thirdly we commit to a type of fast. So we don't decide on the day that, on a day-to-day basis, that, okay, Monday, I think I'll do this fast. Tuesday, I'll do this fast. Wednesday, I'll do this fast. You see, you have to commit. And there's a few fasting options. Number one, there is the water-only fast. There is the liquid-only. There is vegetables and fruit-only. Some will do one meal a day. And then there's some traditional fast where people do sun up to sundown. Some people do Monday to Friday. And then there's other fasts that have come in. You see, people are very creative. Other types of fast where the people say, okay, today I'm fasting. They call it fasting TV. So no TV, no social media, no discretionary spending. Now, we could move backwards and forth debating about what exactly is the perfect fast, right? But at the end of the day, it's about what is the heart, what is the purpose of a fast, right? Now, before I go into the last section, I just want to talk about that. What is the perfect fast? Isaiah 58, it says, shout it out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. That's up to verse 8, and it goes on and on and on. Isaiah 58, that whole chapter, it's incredible in terms of explaining what is at the heart of fasting at the end of the day, right? When we put all debates aside, what is at the heart? How does God himself view it? So, lastly, types of fast. Now, there are several types of fasting. And the one that you choose is between you and God, because he will honor your sacrifice. Like we said, there's a full fast where it's, you know, some people do what they call a dry fast, where it's nothing at all. I've never done that one. I've had water, but some people do nothing at all. And then the Daniel fast, eat no meat, no sweets, no bread, drink water, juice, eat fruit and veggies. There's a partial fast, right, where people go from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., right? And then there's alternative fast, you know. And there's a caution here. Alternative fasts are for people who may not be able to fast food and meals due to health conditions. Now, this is really, really important. If you have a medical condition, please do not go and do a fast and go against your doctor's recommendations. That's really, really important. If your medical condition does not allow you to fast food, do not do it. And the other thing is, we don't fast to earn God's approval. It's not a performance. Fasting is about preparing us, not preparing God. So with that being said, I would like you to take the card next to your chair. You get to take that card home. And those are our sign-up sheets. And basically, we ask you, if we could get people with pens, please, the ushers, if we could get some pens. Now, what you have to do is write down three things that you're seeking the Lord for in 2022. Three things that you're seeking the Lord for in 2022. So this is specific to this year. And please think through this. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that you can do. Allow yourself to think big. Think bigger than you're thinking. What are you seeking God for 2022? So if you just grab a pen, fill that in. And then I will pray over that. In the meantime, also, we're starting Zoom sessions. So the Zoom link is going to be sent out. The fast is starting tomorrow. It'll go for 30 minutes, 7 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Small, quick devotion, and then the rest of the time is going to be spent in prayer. And the link will be made available today. So that link will be sent to you. Day one, we're going to be looking at vision. Day two, we're going to be looking at love. Day three, we're going to be looking at faith. So please take the time to fill that in. And there's notes on the other side of the page to help you understand what we're going to be doing each day. If you can't make it to the Zoom session, may I suggest to take that time for yourself between 7 and 7:30 to just, you know, pray into what you're asking God for. Just take that time, those 30 minutes at home if you can't make it. I'll be at work till 7 o'clock, but I'll join in from work before I go home. So wherever you are, please join in. If you can't, spend that time just, you know, seeking God. So just go for it, because that's between you and God. We don't have to see it. If I could have keyboard, if you're done, Elta. If you're done, I'll get you to just stand up. I'm just going to pray as we finish off. Something else I forgot to mention. When you do finish your fast, please do it in a healthy way. Don't just go from not eating anything to, you know, going for it. You just got to take it slow. Start off with liquids, you know, soft foods. Just be wise about how you do it.